the Lord put on my heart to share with you what he has had me digging in his word for the last many weeks. And that is the coming together, either the conflict or the fusion together of the will of God and the will of man. How these two work together in God's sovereignty and the will of man. So, Lord, we thank you. We just thank you again for what you are doing in all of our lives and for the testimony that was just given. You breathe hope. You breathe expectation. You breathe belief into all of our lives. And we love you, Lord. And we thank you for what you're going to do now, even through your spoken word, Lord. Initiate my thoughts and words. Open all of our hearts, Lord, to continue our worship in receiving your word. And, Lord, that each and every one of us will go out of here today more changed, more in your likeness, more in your image, to bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a matter of the glory of God. Amen? Life is a matter of the glory of God. He wants to do it in our life, bring glory to his name in and through us, and that's our mission in this world, to be testimonies for him, to bring glory to his name in our workplace, wherever we go throughout the day. I'd like to read, first of all, just begin and read through some verses that speak of the sovereignty of God. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11. The Lord God Almighty said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Boy, that's true. "Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And to the above, we each and every one have to say yes. Yes, we can, you know, we sometimes think we know the will of the Lord. We think we know him. But unless we're really spending time in prayer and coming to know him, we cannot operate out of our mind, out of our thoughts. But that verse continues on with a very strong statement that brings us into our study. Verse 10, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish." In other words, when the rain comes down, something happens. Life springs forth so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. "So is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. That's the Lord we serve. He will achieve his purpose. He is Lord God Almighty, rules over heaven and earth. And what he says will come to pass. And we can rest in that. We can put faith in that. We can trust that. It is a solid rock. A very strong statement from the only sovereign God. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 10. "Remember this and be assured and recall it to mind." Remember this. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure." Yes, Father. That's our Father. That is our Father. Isaiah 14, 24, "The Lord of hosts is sworn, saying, surely, just as I intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, it will stand." Psalm 33, 8 through 12, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and his plans, the plans of his heart from generation to generation." That God is sovereign, there is no question. Period. And that man has a free will. Now, here's where the problem comes in. That you and I have a free will to oppose the plans, desires, and the will of the Lord. It is abundantly clear, and it began with Adam and Eve's rebellion and is active today in each and every one of us. The sovereign Lord God created man in his likeness, gave him a free will in the likeness of the Lord, and a limited sovereignty over this earth. Genesis 1, 26, 20 through 29. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule." That's his original plan. Let man rule over all the earth and subdue it. Satan is sitting in the bushes nearby, and he says, "That's what I want." And the Lord loved Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the garden every day in a close, intimate relationship. He told them what to do and what not to do for their own good. They knew the will of the Lord. They had a direct, intimate relationship with Him. They knew the will of the Lord. However, there was a battle for the control of their will. And they made a decision to believe the lie of Satan and say no to the Lord God Almighty. And all mankind are suffering the consequences today of Adam's decision. All, each and every one of us. Adam and Eve, acting out of their free will, rebelled against the Lord and gave their authority over the earth to Satan. And three times Jesus affirms this when He calls Satan the ruler of this world. In 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we see that clearly, more and more clearly, day by day. Yes? The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And this is our mission, to bring back what the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed with His precious blood. But here's the good word. The Lord did not give up on His plan for Adam and Eve just because they said no to Him and yes to Satan, because they fell, because they sinned. He did not give up on them. And He will not give up on His plan for each one of you. He will not give up on His plan for your life, the plans He has for you, plans to prosper you and cause you to prosper and be in health and to walk in wholeness. I'm convinced of that. And I know that's what the Lord wants. So, Isaiah 46 says it, I am God, declaring the end from the beginning. My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all of my purpose. So the Lord God made garments of skin. That means there had to be a sacrifice. That meant there had to be bloodshed for Adam and Eve, and He clothed them. And this is a picture of what the Lamb of God would do for each and every one of us and has done for each and every one. He covered their sin and the sin of all those born of Adam's. But the will of the Lord was and ultimately will be accomplished. But man brought great difficulty and bondage into his life by disobeying God's will, and so do we. Man brings great problems and difficulties into our life because we do not obey the Lord's will. Adam was created with a free will, but when he sinned, he came into bondage. Romans 6:16 says, you're slaves of whom you obey, and his slaves you are whom you obey. Adam came into bondage. In other words, at that time, he lost his free will. He was bound in bondage. And that's true for each and every one of us. Ephesians 2 declares it. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world. And that's Satan's world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we weren't with them, we were not of them, but we were among them. We too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature, the way we acted, children of wrath, even like the rest. But God... Hallelujah. The Lord God begins to work His plan in each and every one of our lives. But God, rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, and even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, He started working in our life both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Period. Final, finished, completed work. Nothing can ever change it. Nothing can ever take you away from that completed work. His counsel will stand, and His word shall be fulfilled. So that in the ages to come, He might show forth the surpassing graces, riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's not of works. It is the gift of God. So that no man may boast. And when we were born again, at that time again, our will was set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Again, we have a free will to make choices. Just like Adam had before his fall. we are back to that same position. God has worked that in our life. And his in bondage, choose. And like, yeah, I like what Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's a daily decision. It's every day, a daily decision. Choose you. And you know, we should do that first thing when we get up. Lord, today I make a decision in my life. I choose you. I choose your way, your plan, your will for my life. A daily decision. But beloved, Satan does not give up. And just as the Lord works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure, Satan is at work also, trying to work to bring you to work and to will for his evil pleasure in our lives. And the battle goes on. And as Ephesians says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. That is our battle, to resist it and choose the will of the Lord. As Joshua said, choose you today whom you will serve. And we must stand with Joshua and say the same as he did. Perhaps every man, every husband, particularly should say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Let's say that together. Let's make it a declaration and say it very meaningfully right now. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Yes. Satan hates to hear that. It puts fear into his heart to hear that. Righteousness and morality is doing what you should do, not what you are free to do. Righteousness or morality, one and the same, is doing what you should do, not what you are free to do. Learn from Adam. He was free to do it. He made a wrong decision. His free will got him into bondage, and so will our free will. That's why it's a dangerous thing in one sense. But the Lord wants us to love him and to serve him, not because we're robots, but because we want to out of a heart of love. And as his heart, as we sing today, as the love of the Lord captured our hearts, that we respond out of that love. I love the verse, 2 Corinthians 10:14. The love of Christ has captured me. The love of Christ compels me, because one laid down his life for all, and that we who live today should not live for ourselves, but to live for him. Jesus came to redeem what and to recover the authority over the earth and give it back to his church, his called out ones. To redeem that authority back from Satan and to give it to us, his church. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. As we obey him in going, obeying his will, doing what he asks us to do, we come under his authority and therefore are given his authority. Behold, he said, Luke 10, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Oh, beloved, that is the privilege that we can walk in with the will of the Lord, choosing his way, doing things his way, honoring him with our life, walking in righteousness with the power of the Lord for victorious living. And this is why Jesus told us, pray like this. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Holy, reverend, honored be your name in my life. Hallowed be your name in the way I live my life today. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. His kingdom right now is a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom is anywhere in anyone who obeys him. The kingdom of God, you come in my life. Your will be done on earth, this piece of earth right here. Let it begin right here and then pray for the rest. You know, we often read this and say it, but we need to do it with sincerity. We need to desire it above all things. Your name, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done through my life in this earth to bring glory and honor to his name. That's why he told us to pray that way. When we do, it brings us under authority and giving us his authority. And beloved, Jesus is our example of this, concerning his will being done. Jesus is our example. John 6:38, he said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Each and every one of us as believers have been called by God. We've been sent by God to do the very same thing as Jesus said. Not my will. He has sent me not to do my will, but to the will of him that has sent me. John 5:19, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. Dreams and visions, whatever he sees. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What's the next one? What? What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. In other words, he's watching him, watching the Lord. Where you go, I'll go. We want to be where the Lord's witnessing, be where the Lord's doing something. Go, be a part of it. Where you go, I go. And what you say, I'll say. Speak it with the authority of the Lord. And when he speaks, things happen. It's created. What you say, I'll say. And what you pray, what he prays, I'll pray. Father, not my will, but yours be done. As Jesus said in John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I don't seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. We've got to watch judgment. Don't make any judgments till you know you've heard from the Lord. I can do nothing on my own initiative. That's total surrender. I bet he could have. But his will is, I will do nothing on my own initiative. Total surrender, and neither can we. Jesus said, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What do you think about that? Wait a minute. I've done a lot of things. What is this? Nothing. You can do nothing. Beloved, it's nothing that pleases the Father, and it's nothing of lasting kingdom value. And as the preacher said in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity. It's all vanity, unless we're walking in the will of the Lord. As I hear, I judge. I do not seek my own will. Boy, that's the problem. Our free will is our problem, because we still have a fallen nature. And this is where Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 come in. Help us to understand how the Lord honors and works with the free will of man. And this is the verse that got me started in this. Golly, that's 15 minutes gone by. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. Let this really get a hold of you. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not so much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, in each and every one of you, in each and every one of his children. God is working in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. Beloved, just as you have always obeyed. Not, Paul is speaking to this church in Corinth, not as so much in Philippi, not so much as in my presence only, but now much more when I leave. You know, our children, as children, sometimes get into the most trouble when mom and dad are gone. And Paul is concerned about his children. And as children, we need to be concerned too when we're out of church, walking somewhere else, think no one's around, whatever. Get off of that, Franklin. Go on. Work out your own salvation. Now, what can that mean? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, beloved, it's certainly not your salvation for eternal life. It is not. Your salvation for eternal life was final. The finished work of Jesus Christ, purchased for each and every one of us by his shed blood on the cross. It is a finished work. That's not the salvation that he's telling us to work out. So what salvation is it? There's several verses there. So the salvation we're to work out is our day-by-day salvation over and our victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, our enemies. The world, so many of us want to be like the world, dress like they dress, say what they say, do what they... Get off of it, Franklin. The world, the flesh, and the devil, those are our enemies. And this is the salvation we're to work out. And how are we to do it? Well, here are some of the ways in Ephesians 4, starting there, verse 1. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling, speaking the truth in love. Walk no longer as unbelievers in the futility of your mind. Boy, isn't that true? Put off the old self, which is corrupted, and be renewed in your mind, and put on the new self that is made in the image of Jesus Christ. Put on the full armor of God. Gird your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the gospel. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, praying at all times in the Spirit. That'll keep you in tune with Him. And you will be rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses anything this brain can comprehend. Why? So that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God, walking in power, victory. What you say, I say. Where you go, I go. What you pray, I pray. Boy, the songs today in the worship, each and every one just God orchestrated. Thank you, Lord. We're to do it with fear and trembling. Do it with fear and trembling. We're to work out our salvation. Our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil will overpower you. That's what we're to be afraid of. To work it out with fear and trembling, knowing that if we don't, we will be overcome by our enemies, and your light will become dim, and your life ineffective and full of problems. And then consider the account you must give to Him whose spirit you have grieved and whose glory you did not reveal on earth. Because 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we shall all stand before the Lord to give an account for ourselves. There's coming a day. Oh, beloved, work it out with fear and trembling, both to will and to work. Now, this is what I hope we can really get a hold of. Causing us both to will and to work, causing us to, number one, know the will of the Lord, to know what you should do, and then He gives you the power to do it, which is the Holy Spirit in you. To know the will of the Lord and then to do it. That's what He's working in our life. He doesn't force us, but He encourages us, and we are to encouraging and lending you to yield your will to Him. He's working in us to do that. But the control of our will, the decision to do it, and the steps of faith to bring it into action comes from you and me. The Lord encourages you to choose His will and gives you the power to do it, what He desires, and then we must act in His power and begin to take steps of faith to bring it into being. With the Lord working in us, we would not know. Without the Lord working in us, we would not know His will, at least not for the right reason. Okay, let me jump ahead. Where are we going to go? Let's go to the example of Jesus. Kathleen, I think that's number 24. Look at the example of Jesus. Jesus Himself had a struggle within His own life between His will and the will of His Father. Luke 22:44. Being in agony, He was praying very fervently, with the sweat became like drops of blood falling down from the ground. This is an issue. This is a struggle. This is a battle going on in His life. Matthew 26, continuing with that same time in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here with me and keep watch to see. Watch with me." And He prays, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And immediately He continues, but not as I will, but as You will. Lord, if there's any other way, Your will be done. And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Keep watching and praying. What I see the Father doing, I will do. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Beloved, this is direction that will direct our life. Watching and praying that you do not enter the temptation. But the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's that struggle, that warfare going on within us. I'll never forget when Buzz Thurman, Well, you know, that's exactly what Galatians 5 says. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says the spirit wars against the flesh. The two are at war with one another. So we're not able, we struggle to do what we should do. And I forget, years ago, Buzz Thurman said, let me tell you what that verse means. The spirit is at war with the flesh. It's like within each and every one of us, there's a good dog and a bad dog. And they're at war, fighting for who's going to take control. And he said, the one you feed will get stronger. The one you do not feed will get weaker. And that's true, beloved. Which are we strengthening? Which are we feeding in our life? The flesh or the Spirit of God within us, our spirit? You know, and that's a very good example. I've never forgotten it. And it really helps keep on track. Keep watching and praying. Do not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time and prayed, saying, Father, if it's possible, if this cannot pass any other way unless I drink it, if it cannot do it any other way unless I drink it, your will be done. Total surrender. And that's the place each and every one of us need to come to, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. It's a good example of how we should fight the fight to resist our will and follow the will of the Lord as he works within us, urging and encouraging us. Jesus won this battle himself. Jesus won this battle through agonizing prayer. How are we going to win in any other way except through agonizing prayer? Spending time in his presence, praying for the Lord, receiving his word, hearing from him, receiving strength from him. There's no other way. Beloved, a life of prayer is vital. Praying in the Spirit all day long as you walk, talk, everywhere you go. Prayer is vital to keep us in tune with his and his will for that moment, for that word to speak, that word of knowledge, that word of faith to speak to others. Prayer is absolutely essential to win this warfare, and you cannot win it any other way. It's the way Jesus won it, but it was agonizing. It was a struggle. Well, let me give some examples. A good example, we're missing a lot. This study is available on the web. But here's a good example. Samuel 14, verses 6 through 11. Jonathan, remember Jonathan? Oh, golly. You with me? Give me a few more minutes. Hello? The restaurants are full anyway. We'll give them a few more minutes, see you. Let's look at the example of Jonathan. Remember Jonathan, Saul's son, Jonathan, David's close, good friend? 1 Samuel 14:6. Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come, let's cross over the garrison to these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. Now, isn't that interesting? Perhaps. But he's going anyway. He's not sure. He's not sure, but he's going anyway. For the Lord can save by many or by two. Really says few, but the two of them. His armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Oh, beloved, that's the word. Do all that is in your heart. God has taken away from us our heart of flesh and given us a new heart. Do all that's in your heart. Do all that's working down here in your spirit. Do it. That's the Lord working in you, both the will and the do for his good pleasure. Do all that's in your heart, not your head. Stay free from this thing. Boy, the Lord speaks. I don't know how many times a day the Lord will put something in my heart and my head will kick in. Oh, no, you don't want to do that, because if you do that, this and this and this and this and this. Battle goes on, it rages. Fighting this thing is so difficult. Trying to get this mind renewed with his word. And it'll only come about through a constant study of the word and replacing what I have placed up here with the word of the Lord. Do all that's in your heart, for I am with you according to your desire. And then Jonathan said, hold, we'll cross over to the men and reveal ourselves to them. If they say, wait, we'll come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But they're coming down to him. Sound like to me it's going to be a battle either way. Verse 10. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up for the Lord. We will know that the Lord has given them into our hands, and this shall be the sign for us. This is steps of faith. This is a man who's not a child. This is a man who is a son in the Lord. He's a mature one. He knows in his heart what the will of the Lord is to win the victory over the enemies of the Lord. He knows that. And so because he knows the basic foundation will of the Lord, he starts taking steps of faith. Let's go up. Let's see what's going to happen. Beloved, we must grow up. We must come to know the heart desires of our Father. Galatians 4, verse 1 says, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything." A child knows, if a child doesn't know why he's doing everything, he's just, sometimes he's obedient, sometimes he's not. 1 Corinthians, Paul said, "When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things and started walking as a son." That's where we need to come to, sonship. We can't do it by, unless Paul said to the Corinthians, "I couldn't give you solid food, I just gave you milk. You're not able to take it because you're still fleshy." We need to grow up, and each and every one of us come to a place of sonship, that we know the will of the Lord and take steps of faith and see the God do the work great and mighty things through our life. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. He set out, he's doing something to find the will of the Lord. He's going to find it. If this happens, we know this. If this happens, we know it's the will of the Lord. Let's go. Let's find out. That's what I like. This is sonship. That's what we all need to do. The Lord is working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His armor bearer said, "Do all that's in your heart, not your mind." I said that. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, there's another example. There's another example where a close friend, even the prophet of the Lord, was wrong. This is David, 1 Chronicles 7, verses 1 through 4. "David said to Nathan the prophet, 'Behold, I'm dwelling in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under curtains.'" In other words, it's in a tent. "Then Nathan said to David, 'Do all that's in your heart.'" Now, that is usually a very safe thing. It was in David's heart, and it was. God is working within him to will and to do of his good pleasure. It was in his heart. He knew that the Lord wanted to build a tabernacle, a place for the Ark of the Covenant, bring it out of that tent of meeting. He knew that in his heart, and he was ready to do it. "And Nathan said to David, 'Do all that's in your heart. God is with you.' And sure enough, he was. He is. He has been. And it came about the same night that the word came to Nathan, saying, 'Nathan, go tell David, my servant, thus says the Lord, you shall not build a house for me to dwell in.'" Beloved, see, when you start taking steps of faith, then you'll begin to hear what the will of the Lord is. It may be, no, I don't want you to go that way. That'll get done, but I'm going to use somebody else to do that. It wasn't David's place to build that house. It was David's son. What was his name? See, this thing goes blank. Solomon. David's son Solomon to do it. Often the Lord, better read my notes. David had a zeal for the Lord. He knew the will of the Lord, what was to be done. He was a son, but he was not the person to do it. We may know the will of the Lord, but we also need to know, am I the person to do it? Or am I to be praying for this one? Because, you know, the Lord gives some, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, some. And he chooses some people for special events, as he did Moses, Joshua, Saul, David, Solomon, and the list goes on. It may not be our will, but if we know the will of the Lord, we start taking steps of faith, he'll show us yes or no, whether it is or not. We will find out. We have to start moving. Steps of faith are so very important. David had those around him say, "You can't do what's in your heart." King Saul said, "You can't do what's in his heart." Remember when he was going to Goliath? Even his brother said, "You can't do that. You can't go out there and that giant will tear you to pieces. You can't do that." We all hear negatives from those around us saying, "No, you can't do that. Don't do what's all in your heart. What are you crazy or something? You're going to get yourself killed." Beloved, if we know the will of the Lord and he sent us and we're doing, no, you're walking in the power and the word of the Lord, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there'll be those that come with antagonistic words saying, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. And there is Gideon. But we will leave Gideon for another day. But he's another good example of knowing the will of the Lord. God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Take steps of faith. Get to know the Lord. Know His heart. Let His heart be in yours. Start taking steps of faith, for it's God who's working in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Daniel said, Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God, the people who know their God will display strength and take action. That word know there is the same word in Genesis chapter 3, chapter 4, where Adam knew his wife. She conceived and brought forth life. Those people who know their God, who have such an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who know their God, it will bring forth life, this spirit of life working within you. It will bring forth life. Those people who know their God, they won't sit still. They won't be complacent. They will display strength and take action. And you will come to know Him by diligently seeking Him. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me. When? When you search for me with all your heart. Spending time reading His Word, talking to Him, worshiping Him, you'll discover His will, His heart, how He thinks. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. In closing with Hebrews chapter 13, may the God of peace make you complete in every good work by taking steps of faith to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory and power and dominion in this age and in the ages to come, and made manifest by the way we live our lives, because He's working in us. It's not my power. It's not by my strength or my might, but by the strong arm of the Lord. He's working in me. Let's say that together. The Lord Jesus Christ is working in me both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we all commit today. We are going to start taking steps of faith in that You have put in our heart to accomplish. And you know what? I rejoice. This church is so full of people just like that, already taking steps of faith, ministering for the Lord, ministering what the Lord put on His heart, the streets of San Antonio, everywhere throughout the city. This room is full of men and women, sons of the Lord, mature ones that know the will of the Lord, bringing glory and honor to His name, walking in steps of faith before the Lord. Hallelujah. It's exciting to walk in that kind of dimension, the dimension of the Lord. God bless you. Give you a great week. Let's all stand.